So Mark has asked me to take the Bible reading for today. It's from Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, 45 to the end, which is 56. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boats and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boats with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boats, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried those who were all on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, and countryside, they placed those who were ill in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together and sharing your word. Lord, we pray that as Matt comes out to share the word with us, that you will fill him with the Spirit of God. And I pray that you touch each of us at the point of our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brilliant. Before I preach this morning, just two things. As we have soup and stew today, put your hands up if you've never had Welsh cowl before. Any people in the house? So if you've never had Welsh cowl, check out, there's a sign over there that says Math's Mum's Cowl. Okay? So if you've never had it, it's not mine. I have some of my mother's cowl today. It's brilliant. And also, we've got some special guests here this morning who we want to just recognise. Just before Christmas, we heard about Jacob's father passed away in South Korea, and they went over there, and they've come over for so Jacob's brother, younger brother, do you want to stand and show them? He definitely looks younger than Jacob, doesn't he? Younger and better looking, I would say. And his sister-in-law and friend, if you want, and also, if you guys want to stand up, and Ji Huan is here. Can I remember Ji Huan? And his brother as well, Jihu, and also Jacob's mother as well, is over here for a while. So if you love Jacob and appreciate Jacob and Suki and the family, and they've meant a lot to you, can we just show some love to these people to show them as well? So we want to say thank you. So thank you, guys. We really appreciate you guys. Great. Has anyone ever seen this TV series before? Anyone seen it? A few people? 24. There's a main guy there called Jack Bauer, and it's basically 24 hours in the life of this guy, Jack Bauer, who is like a crime scene investigator in America. And if you could think of anything that could go wrong in a day, it would be this guy. So he's saving the president, he's saving the blonde, he's stopping a bomb, he's kind of almost delivering a baby, all these things, like everything. He's doing everything in 24 hours. And the idea is the series is 1 hour over 24 weeks, and it always leaves you with a cliffhanger. So it's not like, oh, he goes to work for 9 to 5 and then he has a nap or just has a meal. Like, it is full suspense for these 24 hours, every single series, and it leaves you with a cliffhanger every time. So it's massively unrealistic, and very far-fetched. And he doesn't even sleep or go to the toilet or have food. You don't even see anything. I just kind of, you see all this, but then it was quite good. But it's very, very unrealistic, but it's a TV show. We look at it and think, oh, it's quite entertaining, but it's not real life. And yet, Jesus, we're going to be looking at a story today of 24 hours in the life of Jesus, which lots of people would say, that's not real. That's far-fetched. That didn't happen. That's too far. And like this, so the story of what Jesus is, let me just tell you, it's, if you look at the different Gospels, so the reason we have different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that they have give different accounts and give different details of those accounts. And so this is just what's happened already, okay? So this is what's happened already. So Jesus has heard that his cousin John had not just died, but he'd been murdered by a king. So imagine hearing that news, like of your cousin, a relative of that, and just the tragedy, but also the need to go and grieve and just be alone. So he tries to get alone, but then crowds follow him. So I don't know about you, but if the crowds follow me, I'd say, guys, I'm having a tough day. I'm having a hard day. Please go away. Leave me out some time. But the crowds go away. But then the writer says that he has compassion, and then he teaches them. So he teaches these people, even though he's just heard about his cousin John, he hasn't had time to grieve. He teaches them, and the tiredness of teaching others. But then he saw that then this crowd was not just hungry for the word, but they were hungry. They were physically hungry. Sainsbury's didn't exist back then, like there wasn't any places to go for food. So they were hungry. So Jesus came up with this idea, him and his disciples, let's not just teach them, let's feed them. And we heard that last story just before Christmas about how Jesus fed over 5,000 people with a few loaves and some fish. And not only did he feed them, but also it says that they cleaned up after. Like the disciples went round and they cleaned up, they gathered these baskets and realized that there was 12 baskets left, and how that points to the 12 tribes of Israel. And so you've got all of that. So you've got John the Baptist dies, Jesus teaches these people, then they all have food and he feeds them, and then they clean up. So that's a pretty busy day already, isn't it? That's a full-on literal day. And then this happens. It says this, and so it says immediately. So that has just happened, and it says immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida. Jesus is recognizing not only has he had a busy day, but his disciples have had a really busy day. They're worn out, they're tired, they're exhausted. Right, guys, get in the boat. I'll meet you on the other side. And so what, because while he dismissed the crowd, that's a tough enough job, isn't it? Like sometimes there wasn't any lights to turn off. Okay, right, guys, you got to go now. But while Jesus dismissed the crowd, he said to his disciples, right, you guys go on the other side. And it says, after leaving them, so they had gone, he was by himself, he went up on a mountainside to pray. So they've gone, he's by himself, he goes up to a mountain to pray. And then it says, later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake. One of the Gospels says about 3 or 4 miles out. So this is like a big lake, and they're right in the middle of the lake. And he was alone on land. And it says that he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. So Jesus is on land. He's praying. He is the one who sent his disciples out into this lake to go on the other side. They're in the middle of the lake, 3 or 4 miles out, and then this storm comes. And these guys are professional, some of them are professional fishermen, but he could see from that distance that they are struggling. And we heard a story recently, just before Christmas, about Jesus calming the storm and about how the storm came And how it could have been a demonic storm where the enemy would try to take Jesus and his disciples out. Well, this is different now. Jesus is on the land. His disciples are in the middle of the lake. And this storm comes out of nowhere, maybe to take them out while Jesus is away. And so just some thoughts on that. Like, where do you go when you're tired? Bed, yeah. Well done, Ray. That's an obvious one, yeah. Thank you, Ray. Even you just saying that now, Ray, makes me feel more tired. But yeah, like, do you know when you've had a really tough day where you're physically exhausted, maybe mentally exhausted, maybe you just want a bit of time to switch off? Where do you go? What do you do? Any people here find the TV just a place to zone out? Yeah? Any people here read a book or listen to music? Yeah? Any people here go for a walk? Yeah? Who here finds it when they're really tired, they want to be around people? Some people do that. Who here finds that they don't want to be around anyone? A few more people, yeah? Yeah, so like, where do we go when we... there can be some really good things. I find the TV just quite mind-numbing sometimes, so it just helps me switch off. But sometimes we can go to places which aren't good as well. Sometimes we might go to alcohol and find comfort in that, or maybe go online and try and find a kick of things that we shouldn't be. Sometimes we go to places or do things that aren't helpful when we're in these times. But Jesus, when he was exhausted, when he was physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually tired, like, he went to the Father. Like, he went to the Father. Even constantly it says that Jesus was with people, but then it says he dismissed the crowd, or he went away from the crowd, or his disciples went, and Jesus went by himself. And he went up to a mountainside to pray. And if Jesus, who is the Son of God, needed to go up to the mountainside, then we need the mountainside, don't we? We need places, not to just switch off and watch TV or just kind of listen to the radio, but times and places where we need to be with the Lord, where we need to go to the Lord. Like, and this idea of the Lord loves it when we go to the mountainside. Like, he wants you to come to him. He wants you to go and dwell in him and spend time with him. And so, like, where is your mountainside in your life right now? Like, where do you go to be with the Lord? Or where is he calling you to just come and say, just come and be with me here? Like, where is it for you? For some people, it's a literal mountain. Some people like going for walks and going up to those places. This confession time, and I'll say this to you, but you can't steal it because it's my spot, okay? But a place that I go right now, which is quite weird, but I know it's quiet, is I walk up the road and go to the new Creme. So I don't know if anyone's been to the new Creme. Basically because it's quiet and not many people disturb you. So when I go up there, that's kind of my mountainside. I go up to the Creme and do some walks around there and just kind of spend time praying and reading and worshiping as well. So that's kind of where I have. Becky, my wife, we've had 4 boys in the last 11 years, and lots of them, all of them have been rubbish sleepers. But even with that, even though we've had broken sleep and difficult nights, she's always tried to make a practice of still getting up before the boys. Getting up before the boys. So if they're getting up at 6 o'clock, she'll get up at 5 o'clock. If she gets up at 7, she'll get up at 6 o'clock, because she knows if she doesn't do that, then she's not going to have that time. And so she needs that time before the boys get up, and where she's with the Lord, that's what fuels her. That's where she gets strength from. For some of you, you might not even be able to get outside of your house. There might be some people in the church who are listening online right now and find it difficult to get out of the house. So maybe there's a certain room in your house, or a certain chair, which kind of like this is, or a certain time of the day where, like, this is my mountainside time with the Lord. This is where I'm just going to be with him and seek him. And just the encouragement, if you don't have that mountainside with the Lord right now, what a great New Year's resolution that would be, wouldn't it? To just find that. Where is that in your life right now? Where can that be? Where can you have those moments? Look and find and look for that. Because Jesus, we believe that Jesus was fully God, but also he was fully man. And John 5, 19 and 20, if someone could find that, I'm going to have a bit of participation with you guys here. So if anyone can find John 5, 19 and 20, and I'll bring the mic to you, and you can read that out for us. Whoever's got it first. Now that I said someone's going to read it out, no one's even looking. Who's got it? Oh, I think Gian's got it. Yeah, here we go.
So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel."
So you have this Jesus being fully God, but also being fully man. So Jesus has the need. He just fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and bread as he prayed, showing that he's fully God. But also now he's up the mountainside praying. He needs some time. He's showing that he's fully man. And as he's praying, he looks out and sees the disciples 3 or 4 miles in the lake in a storm in which he sent his disciples out. And they're there, and he's on land. And we don't hear the discussion there, but you kind of think, what's going on with Jesus and the Father and the Spirit there? Is Jesus saying to the Father, "God, stop the storm"? Or Jesus, he could even say in the last one, "Storm, be quiet," and it happened. But he doesn't do that this time. Or is Jesus saying, "Holy Spirit, go and be there and be their comfort"? Like this dialogue between Jesus, the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. And I wonder, out of all three of them, I wonder who had the idea of go to them. Which one said go to them? Did the Father say to Jesus, "Right, you go to them"? Did Jesus say to the Spirit, "Or you go to them," but the Spirit said, "Nah, you can go to them"? Or did Jesus say to the Father, "How can I help? What can I do?" And he said, "Go to them." But something miraculous happens, which happens there. And it says this, and it says, shortly before dawn, he went to them walking on water. Shortly before dawn, so if you look at the timeline, even when he saw them, even when they were on the lake, they were out on the lake for a bit of time. They were out there for a few hours, struggling in this storm. So he didn't go to them straight away. There was a few hours of struggling by themselves. And then it says that he went to them. Remember, this was about 3 or 4 miles out. So what did that look like? Did he walk all that way, 3 or 4 miles out? And that's where the reason why it took long? Or did the Father almost kind of like pick him up and transport him there to that point? We don't fully know. It's a question we ask him when we get to glory. But then it says this, walking on the lake. I started this talk about Jack Bauer with the series 24, and a lot of those things are far-fetched, aren't they? A lot of them are like, that's not real life. That would never happen. If you're not a Christian here this morning, and you're kind of in a room with many Christians, you might be thinking, these guys believe that someone can walk on a lake. Maybe I need to leave. Like walking on a lake. A human being walking on a lake. Like if you've been brought up in church or you know Jesus, this might be kind of part of what we're used to. But let's just realize this is impossible for man, isn't it? Like walking on a lake. And even, if we went down Roth Park or the Lisbon Reservoir now and it was nice and glass and still, you might think, well, I'll have a go. We'll have a go. We'll run really quickly and have a go. But this isn't just like a nice still lake. This is a storm. Like, these are raging seas. Like, this isn't nice and still. There's wind and there's rain and there's waves here. Like, this isn't just a nice, calm walking on glass water. Like, this is a storm. This is what was about to happen. But this is impossible for man. Like, this is the impossible bit for man. For if Jesus was just fully man, then this obviously this story doesn't make sense. This is impossible. But Genesis 1, verses 1 to 10. Who's got that? Genesis 1, verses 1 to 10. Maybe someone on this side, actually. Victor, I think you've got it. Yes, I can see it. I saw him reading it then in his mind. He shouldn't have moved his lips. Genesis 1, verses 1 to 10.
In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. And God was pleased with what he saw. Then he separated the light from the darkness, and he named the light day and the darkness night. Evening passed and morning came. That was the first day. Then God commanded, "Let there be a dome to divide the water and to keep it in two separate places." And it was done. So God made a dome, and it separated the water under it from the water above it. He named the dome sky. Evening passed and morning came. That was the second day. Then God commanded, "Let the water below the sky come together in one place so that the land will appear." And it was done. And he named the land earth, and the water which had come together he named sea. And God was pleased with what he saw.
Amen. Thanks, mate. So water walking for human beings is impossible. But if Jesus, as we believe, is fully God, then Jesus was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, by him, for him. So Jesus, just by the power of the word, God made all the seas. He separated the seas from the sky. He created all the water. He said, "You can come this far, and you can't come any further than this." And so if God created all the seas just from his word, and Jesus is God, then actually taking a few steps on the sea isn't much of a big deal, is it? If he created all of this, all of the water in the world, then him deciding to walk on it isn't that big a deal, because he spoke it into being, and now he's just taking a few steps. And as the story, Mark's gospel actually doesn't talk about Peter, where it says Jesus was walking on water, and then Mark's story doesn't talk about Peter, maybe because Peter was telling Mark a lot about it to write down, so maybe he didn't want to brag or be arrogant, but the other guys talk about Peter. But we also read about, and Peter walked on the water. So even though Jesus was fully man, because he was fully God, he could walk on the water. And yet also then, he invited, Peter asked, can I come? Like, that looks amazing. Can I try? Can I walk to you? And Jesus said, "Come." And he walked to him. And just an encouragement, maybe if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, maybe if you're mature in your faith, just want you to think of, what does walking on water look like for you today, this year? What does stepping out in faith look like to you? And maybe you've done it before. Maybe you've done something for the Lord, or you've walked with him. And maybe like Peter, you kind of sunk and you got scared. And you thought, "Oof, I'm not going to do that again. I'll go back in the boat. The boat is more comfy. The boat is more kind of stable. I'd rather stay." But like, what has the Lord called you to? Like, what is he asking you? What are you seeing the Lord doing? And he's saying, yeah, you can come to me if you want. You can come and join. You can come and see. Like, what is he calling you to do, to step out in faith? Don't just stay in the boat. Like, look to what is the Lord calling you in 2025. And then it says this. This is an amazing part. Look at that first line. He's done all that. So he saw them. He's now gone to them. And look what that says right at the start there. He was about to pass them by. That's crazy, isn't it? He was about to pass them by. But when they saw him on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. You would, wouldn't you? People would have thought, any of us would have thought, what's going on here? What's this happening? And so they cried out. They called out. We don't know what that means, what that looks like fully, but maybe they shouted, God help us, or Jesus, where are you? They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. Look at that. As soon as he climbed into the boat with them, the wind died down. And they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Remember, just before this, a few hours in the daytime, he would just fed thousands of people with those. And yet, even then, their hearts were hardened. And you know, we can walk in church, we can be part of church, we can be part of the UK, which some people say is a Christian nation, and we can do these things and be around Christians, but we can let Jesus pass us by. If we don't call out to him ourselves, even if we're in a desperate place and we call out, God, please, Jesus, help me. If we don't cry him out for him ourselves, Jesus can pass us by. Even though he's so close to them, he could have passed them by. And because their hearts were hardened. And so, like, where's your heart at right now, at the beginning of this year? Like, where's your heart at? I don't know about you, but I'd love to cry more. Is Dave Morley here today? Dave Morley. Dave Morley cries at everything. Jan said he even cries like adverts. But I think there's a power in that. I think there's a strength in having a softness where the Lord can you. And so I'm kind of like praying, Lord, help me cry more. Help my heart be softer. Be softer to what you want to do. Because if we've got hard hearts, if your hearts are not teachable, if they're not seeking the Lord, if maybe even if you've known him, but you've almost had calluses over your heart, then he can pass us by. And this is what can happen. Revelation 3:15-22. Who's got that? Anyone on this side? Phoebe, have you got it? Revelation 3:15-22. There we go, great.
I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
He says there, I stand at the door of your heart and he knocks. And yeah, there's some hard words there about being wicked or arrogant or prideful. But it says like the Lord loves those. He disciplines those that he loves. And so the question at the start of the 2025, maybe if you don't know Jesus, is Jesus in your boat? Like right now in your life, like is Jesus in your boat? Even if you're in a difficult time, even if those seas are still going on, like is Jesus in your boat? Because he wants you to call out to him, to ask him, even if that's continually, even if that's getting others involved, to ask him. Like, where's our hearts at the start of this year? Because when Jesus climbed into the boat with them, it says that the wind died down. The wind died down, and Jesus is with them, and he stops the storm with this. And just to finish off, you kind of think, right then, Jack Bauer, 24 hours, he's got nothing now on Jesus' 24 hours, has he? Like, this is nothing in comparison. But let's just, as we finish this part, this is just the next 24-hour period. So all of that happened, and it says, and when they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And as then, they were healed. That's a long day, isn't it? That's a full day. And yet the generosity of God to still put himself in places where people are. He knew when to be with the mountainside of the Lord and to draw away and to go away from people. And yet he put himself, when he saw people in danger, he went to them and then put himself in place to be available. Even if all the people did was touch him, he was in a place of availability for these people. And so where is your mountainside to pray? Like, it's crazy to think that the Lord wants us to be with him now. Like, the Lord wants us to spend time with him. The Lord wants us to seek his face. Like, he wants that. And so where is your mountainside this week? It might not be a daily thing. It might be when you get time. But where is your mountainside? Where can you go in your house or around? Where is your mountainside? What do you want to join Jesus with? Like, where is that walking on water for you? If you're maybe thinking, oh Lord, where are you calling me to? Where are you, Lord? Help me take a step out in faith rather than stay in the boat. Like, where is the Lord calling you to join him? And is Jesus in your boat? Like, if you haven't even started this journey, like, is Jesus in your boat? Like, where's your heart at? We'd love to pray with you, help you how to be a disciple, help you how to start this off with follow or even alpha. Like, we want to help you have Jesus in your boat so the storms can stop. The guys are going to come up and lead us in the final song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. But maybe this is, as these guys come up, let's just pause for a second and reflect. Look at these questions and just ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? Let's just have a time of that.